Welcome back to another edition of the Edible Valley Podcast. Here in the lovely Comox Valley, we're here at the Studio Live, and I am Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm Darren Howlett, and here we are again for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like we say this all the time. Is I get back on and be like, hey, we got overwhelmed with stuff again.
Yeah.
And this has been more true, I think, over the last I know. Couple months.
There was quite a while there where we had a good track record of always being able to put out a show on a regular basis. And then, yeah, life got in the way yet again and derailed us a bit. And here we are. It's really frustrating because we had, like I said, it was feeling pretty good there. We had pretty regular show. And I'm hoping that we can get back that way again.
Well, I think we're going to push ourselves. Yeah. I mean, a little bit, as the studio here is getting quite busy. So
that's right.
Sundays have been cut from us. So that's one of the days we like to get in here, but that's all right. And so we're going to have to try and squeak in some Mondays.
So many things have changed. I mean, as everybody out there knows, hopefully, if not, go back a few episodes, that you and I bought into Prontissima Pasta. We now co-own that, which takes up a lot of what was our spare time.
Yes.
Being that you and I both have jobs at Atlas as well.
Right.
So, what's funny is that we're sitting here, we're talking about all the things that we do, and I see you pretty much all day, all night. We live a few houses away. We work at Atlas together. We own a business together. We do a podcast together. And yet you and I haven't talked about at all what we're going to talk about tonight.
Exactly.
I don't even know what we're going to talk about tonight.
We're just going to get on. You know what? There's a few things I'd like to... I think we should talk a little bit about being with Prontissima and just some of the connections and some of the people we got to talking to.
Yeah, for
definitely
sure.
Being on the other side of the market is a Absolutely. Huge one for people who
huge
are,
eye-opener for me.
Yeah, people who may be thinking about being part of the market and have a product or are producing something that they'd like to sell to the public. Maybe that can help them out a bit.
For sure.
The other thing I'd like to touch on a little bit is just about the staffing shortages in this area.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, we talk about that. Like, that's an ongoing issue at Atlas, and not to I don't think that's airing any dirty laundry, but I know that it's been an ongoing thing to find the right person that fits in there. And it used to be, it was really easy to find people.
Yes.
And nowadays it's not so easy to find somebody that's competent and capable of working in a kitchen, especially
and really likes being in a kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. Especially one that's a little demanding like Atlas. You know?
And you know what? And it's not even Atlas now. I'm talking to other people, other chefs out there, and we're kind of all in the same boat. It's just trying people, bring people to work for us and to,
right,
join in.
Well, I read something probably 4 months ago about how, there was that person, that chef in Victoria that would essentially shut down his doors, and not because he had poor product, not because he had, didn't have a loyal clientele, and not because there wasn't money, but because he couldn't staff. He couldn't handle not being able to staff his place any longer, and he had to shut his doors, and just because inconsistencies were forming.
Yeah.
And it speaks volumes of what's going on now. I remember when you and I were growing up, tons of people would always try their hand at cooking, and there was always be some that fell to the wayside and didn't pursue it, and some that did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always a great way to, there was pretty good money and pretty good hours, and there's a certain, anybody that's not been in a kitchen, it's hard to explain, but there's a certain camaraderie that's almost like addicting. You're in it together, and you become very tight and very close with everybody you work with in a kitchen.
You count on everyone, and you have to be there to step up for the person next to you, and they will step up for you. And
right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that was almost, that alone was one of the things that lured people in. They'd get a taste of that and want to stay being a part of that. But now what's happening? Like, where is everyone?
Well, it's become a bit of burnout, I think.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is, and I don't think there's a group that's moving into the profession as maybe quick as we'd hope there would be.
Right.
And so it's just, and it's tough too, because becoming a chef is now becoming more popular.
Right.
But I think a lot of people don't realize it's not the celebrity chef world.
Right.
There's still, it's hard to, you got to put in your time and you got to be in the...
Well, you see the other side of this. You sit on the Chefs Association.
Yes.
So I know that you guys work hand in hand with a lot of the young chefs that are up and coming. And are numbers down?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Really? Down in the colleges, there are, I mean, they laid off one of the teachers last year just because of lack of enrollment. So it's something, you know, it's kind of tough. And,
wow.
You know.
So, interesting. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. What do we do to fix that?
I don't know. I wish I knew where I would do it.
Actually, it even makes it more strange to me. Like, the more I think about this as we're talking about it right here, it seems like everybody's moving more towards food, natural food, whole foods. Everybody's moving towards
lack of ingredients, like basic ingredients and simple foods.
Yeah, everybody's sort of food's back at the forefront in a lot of people's minds. And it's definitely, you know, a lot of people in the past might have spent extravagantly here or there or on cars or what have you. And I see a lot of people now are willing to spend a lot more on food. It's become a thing that you can, you know, more than just a hobby. It's also become a thing that sort of, that's where your disposable income goes. And so with that much focus that's happening that wasn't there before on food, you would think more people would be following food careers. But yes. It doesn't seem that it gets going that way.
No, it seems to be going in a little bit of a different direction. So
yeah.
I think people may be going toward farms and stuff like that in that industry.
Which is also important. Yeah. I mean, there was a huge void in that in
as well.
The 70s, 80s, 90s. You know?
Yeah.
And hopefully that's sort of course correcting too, is that we're starting to find enough farmers.
And it's
there.
Part of, I think, our population is aging.
Yeah.
And so they're retiring. And
right.
So, and truthfully, kitchens are sort of young people's area.
It's true.
It's, you know, when you're younger and you don't want to get up early in the morning, you know,
it's true. That's totally true.
I still find that myself. I find 9 o'clock, that's kind of early.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm going to be working till 11, but you know, it's that's kind of one of those things. So you get into that sort of mood of being, you're a late night person and that's what is the kitchens and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Interesting. I don't know. I don't know if there is a solution there. How do you entice the next generation the rigors of the kitchen with the,
I guess,
not the greatest pay and the sort of the
yeah, it's
lots
not
of stress.
The glamorous job. There's a lot of stress.
But it also, I don't know. I've always romanticized it because I've always thought of just how creative it is. You know, like there's such a room for creativity. And of course, I was brought up as sort of a consummate host. I lived in a house of hosts. We were all hosts.
Yeah.
So to me, like working in a restaurant is that's just it. It's hosting. Mm-hmm. You're hosting. You're having people over for dinner. You're just on a mass scale and you know, and they're paying for it. But I don't know. To me, it's just in my blood. I don't know. I don't know how to get the next group of people interested. I don't.
Well, I guess just talking about it and hopefully catching some interest and being like, hey, there's actually, if you're looking for work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kitchens. But you need to, there is some training that goes into it, so.
It's true. And I think, too, I guess maybe it's leveled out, but it seemed for a while there was more restaurants per capita than before.
Mm-hmm.
I heard once, I remember maybe 10, 15 years ago, I think actually when I was working under Chef Renault, or working with Chef Renault, I wasn't working under him. But I remember the statistic being that the Comox Valley had more restaurants per capita than anywhere else in BC.
I've heard that before too.
Yeah. I'm not really surprised. Although, I mean, I think a lot of people would say really, because they can think of maybe 10 or 15 restaurants. But I think that if you actually sat back and thought about it, there's about 60 or 70.
Mm.
There's maybe even more.
Go on TripAdvisor.
Yeah. Exactly.
I hate to say that because TripAdvisor is the one thing that will wreck my day.
Yeah. It's true. It can totally put a downer
I love
in
it.
Your day.
I love it in ways because you find out so much about all these different places.
Right.
But it really hurts sometimes when get slammed.
Yeah.
And it
happens.
I know.
And
you have a bad day.
And that's just it. The few times that I read it now and I read a bad review of another restaurant, I'm totally... It's the opposite. I don't judge them for it. I'm like, oh man, I totally know what kind of day they had.
Yeah.
Or that kind of customer that was complaining that way. Like, I get it. I feel for them, if anything.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those ones. I only check it to ruin my day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't really care about the raving reviews.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I feel good about those, but it's, yeah.
I know. I want to
see where I can make myself better, and those
right.
ones kind of hurt personally.
I know, and
sometimes.
Those times that people slam the place because they've felt, you know, put off by this or put off by that, and they don't realize, you know, we're all human beings. We're all just doing the best we can. And I, you know, I've said before, one of my favorite quotes, my brother, in a high stress situation such as that, where a customer was just losing it, over the certain little things that just happen, that there was, you know, just not even really human error, just those things that you can't avoid.
Yeah.
A little hold up here, you know, some other guests not being behaving so well here, and the guest just lost it on my brother, and he just said, "Hey, you know what, at the end of the day, this is just dinner." Like, you got to remember, although we take a lot of pride in what we do and we all strive for excellence, at the end of the day, we're all humans and we're just serving dinner.
That's,
you know,
right.
Like, we're just putting out dinner for you.
Yeah.
But
it's one meal in a long line.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's gracious just to enjoy it sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to entice people to come in. I like I said, it's hard for me to put myself in that mindset. To me, food is a no-brainer. Like, mm-hmm. to me, it's just, that's it. It's food, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know how to entice other people to come into it. But then I don't know if that's what we were trying to do here, is solve the world's labor shortage
of cooks. No, I don't think it's
Vancouver Island.
We're more here to talk about interesting and wonderful foods.
Yeah.
So we should maybe spin on that and go into more of a positive light.
Sure.
Just being now, you've been doing the market quite a bit.
I have. And as somebody that was a very infrequent market goer, for my own reasons, and not because I didn't support those places.
Because you just didn't want to get up early in the morning.
No, there was, that was part of it, was that I had an extremely limited amount of time on both the Wednesday and the Saturday to be able to do it. But it was also, I still support most of the businesses that are there, but I actually go to those places. I just didn't go to the market. Like I said, there was other reasons, extraneous reasons, not just the regular ones. But I always supported the idea of it, and I always encouraged other people to go. And, but now that I'm there, and, any of the regular Prontissima customers would have seen that it's not a regular crew there manning the booth.
That's
it's
right.
It's mostly me, which isn't permanent, you know, that was just so I could get my feet wet and learn it and get sort of touch base with all our customers and the people that, you know, the people that we see every week. And I love it. I absolutely love it. Like, I'm happy to keep doing it. I know we're sort of talking about, internally, we're talking about what's going to happen as far as if one of us is going to take it regularly or if it's going to sort of shift around. I really do like doing it. The morning does hurt.
Yes.
After that, getting home at 11:30 on Friday night from work and then being up before 7 to get down there for 7 to start packing, take everything down there, that starts to hurt a bit. But
yes, I've helped out a couple times loading up and setting it up, and so you're kind of in the zombie state because you got off work late and you're like, I'm gonna put passes in a cooler. There's a sign somewhere.
The one thing that I gotta say that I really like is a lot of the people that we've had on this show or on the podcast here is you know, I've always met them just in this context or I've been in their business, but now I'm sort of working alongside them.
Right.
And we're totally taking in a different new way. I mean, there's just off the top of my head, Arzina was a couple of episodes ago, Ivan's Truffles.
Right.
We have Doug from Natural Pastures just a few episodes ago. We have, Eat More Sprouts. We have, those are just the ones that are in our immediate vicinity of our booth that I'm thinking of. And it's great now sort of being on their level and interacting with people at the same way that they are. And it's definitely spurred a lot of conversation. I think I talk Doug's ear off every single time. He's getting sick of listening to me because he's right beside us.
Yeah.
And because it's cheese and pasta and there's so many connections there, we're always talking about possibilities.
So you're being you should take that cheese there, pair with this pasta here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and we're always sort of
and some of
devising.
These greens or squash right here is very nice.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. I love it. It's great. Not just touching base with the customers, but touching base with the other food growers and makers. I mean, that's what we do in the show here, right?
Well, I gotta go to my one experience that I've had at the market.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though I probably should have more. it was great. Like that, because I was on holidays, so I wasn't worried about anything.
Right. I forgot you came back. You did a full day there.
I did a full day there with you.
Yeah.
But I kind of ran away a couple times because ended up jumping in with the Chef's Association and do some cooking. So it was kind of, I'd been off for almost 2 weeks. So it was nice to all of a sudden, hey, I got to remember how to use my knife and this right. frying pan thing and spatulas. Yeah. What is this? Okay, I got this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was kind of fun for me. So I got to do a bit of both. But yeah, it was a little, I remember at first when people started approaching me and I'm like, hi.
I know. Well, there's a reason why you're stuck in the kitchen.
I know. I'm not a, yeah.
No, no, I'm kidding.
No, exactly. I'm going to feel a little awkward.
And I'm like, chat it up with every person, right?
Yeah. And then it was nice when I broke actually off to go with the Chefs Association. I got more into my element.
Yeah.
And so I got to throw out some different things and people are like, what am I eating here? And it's like, oh, it's sauteed kale and that's yeah. that's butternut squash pesto. And, you know, yeah. and we're mixing all these different ingredients and sort of putting up stuff. And, oh, we got some goat cheese on that or a little this on yeah. that. And anyways, when I got back to the booth, all of a sudden it was like people were like asking me like, oh, what's this pasta? Well, this pasta is this and it's yeah. great with this cheese here. And
yeah, exactly.
And they're like, oh, this black bean. I'm like, I'm thinking salsa.
Yeah.
You know, like Mexican-y, yeah. but something with like some big bold flavors and some spice to it.
Yeah.
You know, would go great with that. So.
Right. Yeah. I know. I know. I like that. That was the one thing that caught me off guard too, is people at, like up until now, I've been pretty comfortable with what we have mm-hmm. to sell. I'm behind all of our products. I love them all. And you know, and, but I wasn't ready for people to ask, well, how do you use this? It's like, what?
Yeah.
The first time somebody's, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that question. I just wasn't ready for it.
Yeah. You're like, well, you put it on your fork and yeah, stick it no, in your mouth.
But no, exactly. I just thought, well, I would pair this with this or this with this. And I didn't even say that necessarily trying to promote our products. I mean, genuinely, I think this would go well with this and you can find that over there, you mm-hmm. know, or you, I think this goes really well with this. Or if you wanted to pair, you know, you wanted to do a really light salad with this, you know, I would go with, you know, doing a, like whatever, like a little frise and you can probably find that right over there, I bet, or you know, whatever, you know, but, I just started at first, it took me off guard and now I love that part. I love people asking me what they would do with it or they come up and tell us what they've done with it. And then they ask what else I would suggest. Then I'm like, oh, okay, that's great. Okay, so yeah. you're starting to get comfortable with it. Well, now I would try, you know, why don't you try something on this mm-hmm. nature? And yeah, and I love it too, because I think that that alone spurred that whole, I mean, Sarah, who's our partner, that's mm-hmm. not, that our partner at Prontissima, that's not here. Sarah and myself kept, saying, oh, you know, you just pick up a little tuna and do it like this. And, oh, I would serve this with a little tuna. And then we were like, hey, wait a minute. Why are we not selling tuna out of the store? So now we sell tuna because it was just like, oh, we can't keep suggesting this to people and then not try to help them get it. Right.
Not happen.
Yeah. So I'm liking that. It's they're helping shape the way that the store is going to become. And yeah. I love that. I think that's great.
Yeah. No, that's a neat thing, as a, yeah. especially with the storefront. And I like yeah. it that we're kind of just... Like as we see products, we're like, why don't we have this here?
Yeah.
These go to good together. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I mean, moving it more towards the market, I mean, I'm really enjoying it there. And I'm really enjoying, and I know it sounds cliched or corny or it sounds whatever, but I'm really enjoying the sense of community. I the first few weeks... I think that people just thought I was just subbing in to cover for somebody or something.
Yeah.
I didn't make a lot of new connections. And, after the first few weeks, I started to make a few friends there. And then, yeah. And then as our story got out that we had bought the place from Sarah, but not from her,
right.
You know, we just bought in. And, so we were sort of in it for the long haul. And then I, you know, definitely got to know everybody a little bit better, the people that we haven't had on the show and that I hadn't met yet. And yeah, and now I just feel like there's just definitely a sense of community and we're all trying to help each other out, not just sell things, but we're all trying to help each other out in furthering our products.
Yeah, you know? I've noticed yeah. that.
I love actually, it.
I thought it was funny because I set up for you this week.
Yeah.
And it was funny because it was pouring down rain outside.
It was awful.
And it was like the worst day outside yeah. ever. Anyways, and I've got all these coolers and I'm running them in there and no one was smiling. Everyone was just rushing. Yeah. Busy, 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 busy.
Right.
You know, like get your food in, get out of the rain.
Really? And you were so early. You were pretty early.
I was a little bit early, but
usually
everyone was
like
in
that
this
at the last few
it was
minutes, yeah.
well, it was about 8:30. So yeah. it was a bit of a, you know, hit a half an hour before
yeah.
everything happened. So it was that rush to get there. But then as soon as I got inside the door, all of a sudden it was like Everyone's like, hey, hi. And they're like, oh, hey, how you doing? And then you get stuck into a conversation. You're like, oh, wait, I gotta focus. I got to get my stuff set up.
I love that sense of community. And even so, like at this point, if something were to happen, not that anything would, but if something were to happen and I wasn't at the market anymore as a working behind a booth, I would definitely start going to the market again.
Mm-hmm.
Like just, yeah, I just love that. I love that sense of community. I love that sense of just everybody so excited about good whole foods and mm-hmm. that are from the valley and you know, yeah, and that all that crossover, everybody helping each other out. But yeah, I mean, what else have we sort of had over the last few months? I mean, it seems like there's a million things that we could talk about.
There's probably 100 little things. Like, yeah. I know there was a big fundraiser for North Island College that the Chefs Association took part of, which was the taste, which seemed to go over quite well.
Right. I forgot about that completely.
And you made pasta for that.
I know. Yeah. Taste. So how did that go over?
Oh, it went over huge. I think, they made money or any of that stuff, but the food ended
that's
it,
really
which
what
I heard.
Matters
that's
end.
All I care about.
Yeah. Was the food good?
Yeah.
Did the food turn out?
The food sounded, I saw some photos of the food, everything looked amazing.
That's, ultimately that's what's important. That's great.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. And what about, where are we? We're coming up on Christmas.
Coming up on Christmas. I know
it's such a difficult time around this in this town at that, to get things going. Everybody seems to be doing something.
Yeah. There's lots of events happening. I mean, New Year's is coming. So, I mean, I just started doing my groundwork for my New Year's menu. So that's, and it's always funny that it's December and you're already waiting for that end of the month thing.
Yeah.
You haven't even got through Christmas yet. So,
no, I know. Yeah. It's a difficult month really for food, and not that it's difficult in the, traditional sense where it's difficult to get people to come out to something. It's just that there's so many things going on. And it's hard to find out what you're going to go do or figure out what you're going to support or figure out what's happening. And then there's all those extra events that people are trying to, like, and extra visits, and the restaurants are all full or else they're completely dead because that's the night that 32 events are going on in town.
Exactly.
It's just such a tumultuous time. And I find that, too, it seems like even from your suppliers, local or otherwise, you know, that's just all of a sudden they're out of this or they're out of that because there was this huge demand because there's 32 extra events
mm-hmm.
where they're serving food. It's a difficult time to get things accomplished in December. You just sort of have to ride it out, get as prepared as you can and ride it out.
That's what I do. I just ride it out.
Yeah.
I know it's my busiest time of the year.
Yeah.
That's when it's everyone's busiest time of the year. Cause there's so much to do just to connect with family and friends and stuff like that. Right?
Absolutely. So. And you don't want to worry about cooking. That's what I mean. Growing up in the food industry, I know that majority of people, like you know, the people that aren't in the food industry,
mm-hmm.
let's say, the majority of them, they want to have a visit with friends and family or go meet up with old friends they haven't seen or whatever, and they just want food element taken care of. They just at a restaurant or catered or whatever. They wish just get that part out of the way. And that's why the food industry becomes such a hectic, manic sort of, for those 3 weeks in December, it's just a gong show.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's good. I'm looking forward to it again.
Yeah. I guess the other thing was we're waiting for the mountain to open up again.
I know. That's fantastic news. I mean,
This
rainy weather that we've had for the last few days, I've been watching that snow cam.
Yeah,
it's insane.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you what the up and down.
I couldn't tell you what the base is right now, but I do know that this is the first time in a couple of years that it looks like we're going to have a really solid ski season.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, it would be good, exciting with new owners taking over the place. So there should be a lot of changes happening up there, which can be nothing but good for this area. So
absolutely. I don't think I've said that before. I don't think a lot of people understand how much of our economy, our winter economy in this town was based on that. And, you know, everybody can weather through one bad year. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've been in business for a few years, you know that you're going to be able to weather it through one bad year. But we had two bad years back to back on our mountain.
Yeah.
And the repercussions there aren't just, you know, it's not just that we didn't have people come for a couple of years in a row. It's also people that put off their plans and then had to put them off again, have now given up.
Yeah.
You know, and it's trying to win those people back that used to be regular visitors to our community.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we'll recover from it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, like, I don't think a lot of people realize this is now a rebuild. Whether people saw it fall apart or not, that part of our economy has to be rebuilt, and it will come.
It'll take a while.
Yeah.
But no, I was always impressed when I was in Victoria how many people knew Courtney and the businesses in Courtney from the mountain, because it would come up every once a month or every second weekend to go up skiing.
Right.
You know.
So. Oh, no, it's crazy. I moved back down to Victoria for a little while when I was like early 20s. And I was from Victoria. And when I moved to, I lived in Vancouver for a few years previous to that. Nobody knew. Nobody barely even understood that there was an island. They're like, there's a what? Like, Victoria's there, you know?
Yeah.
The capital. What? Anyways, when I lived back in Victoria right around that same time, I just assumed nobody would know what Courtney was. When I moved there, I didn't know what it was from Victoria. But yeah, everybody knew what Courtney was at that point, and mostly because of that, because of the mountain, you know, or the mountains at that time, or I think Forbidden had just closed right around then. So I just on our little map, that puts us on the map. I'm excited to see it prosper. I'm excited to see it come back.
And then when people come up here, they can taste some of the food.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what else. It seems like we talked before, we used to do these catch-up episodes, and I seem right now like I'm totally unprepared because we didn't really discuss what we were going to discuss. But it seems that we've sort of probably left out a couple of significant events, and I'm going to remember them right after we stop recording.
And you're going to be like, oh, can we go back and start over again?
Yeah. But I think ultimately the biggest thing for me is that... I think that we've gone through our big adjustment period with the pasta shop. And, there's tons of growth happening there. But I think like that first big, like us getting acclimated into it and getting our feet wet and knowing what was going on and collectively coming up with a direction and how we're going to grow and then getting that started. I think that, you know, now that we've got that, all those seeds sown, I think that we'll probably be able to do the podcast a little more regularly because,
well, at least we're getting out there to see the people.
Yeah.
So I know we've been contacting people, and there's a few people who really want to come on and do an episode, and it's just finding the time for both their schedules and our schedules.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is that you and I both had a couple of days off a week, and our podcast always fit in there, but now our fantastic sound guy and host of this show, James. He has something that's regular that's come up that fits in those off times, and then our off times aren't off times anymore.
Yeah.
They're now committed to Prontisma, so we'll find it. We'll make it work. But trying to make those three schedules work in a very limited time, we're just gonna have to nail it down.
That's right. I'm not worried about it. So no. I know there's enough people out there that want to come in and there's a lot of stories I still want to hear. So
for sure. Absolutely. And that's the other thing too, is, I look forward to this because this is just so different than the other things, you know, this is different. At Prontisma, I'm making food and encouraging people to buy it. At Atlas, I feel like I'm just presenting people with options of what Atlas is offering. You know, I'm just there as sort of an emissary. I'm there to deliver what you need to make your night go well.
Right.
Whereas here, I think, you know, I get to talk about, remove the business element altogether and just talk about food. I love that. So I think that, you know, it's been missing in my life for the last few months. And so I'm happy that we've got it. We found a way to work it back in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a great episode.
Yeah, I think that about covers where we are right now, a little snapshot in time for us where food is.
Anyways, we'd like to thank our supporters.
Yeah.
Which is, Prontisma Pasta, of course.
Yeah.
Atlas Cafe, of course. Mm-hmm. And Ivan's Chocolate Truffles.
Absolutely.
For supporting. And if there's anyone out there who would like to help us support and keep this episodes going, we graciously accept donations.
We do.
And you can get a hold of us at ediblevalley.com our email, ediblevalley@gmail.com.
Yeah. Yeah. And something that we should probably mention is we do graciously accept donations, we also like to mention supporters, talk about them a little bit in the show. I wouldn't call it necessarily advertising, but, you know, a little crossover, a little synergy there. We'll get something happening.
Little support for you.
Yeah. So if you're interested, please let us know.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.